بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 20, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 1. Dr. Faa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today in this session, inshallah, we intend to complete what remains, the two exercises that remain from Lesson 12, and then begin the new Lesson 13, which primarily deals with matters related to plurals. But before that, and part of our homework assignment was to review some of our previous lessons, that is lessons 6 through 11. So we're going to have a quick review of those lessons, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And then we're also going to look at the review sheets, the two review sheets that we had, that is number 3 and number 4 of the review sheets. And remember, those review sheets are intended to be like an exam. Therefore, when you do these sheets, you can prepare for them by looking at, the lessons that deal with the matters contained therein. But however, when you do them, you should try to do them without looking at the book, and then you can go back and check whatever you wasn't sure about and correct your mistakes, no problem. But the point is, you want to test yourself to see how many of these exercises you get correct, so that you can see where you're at, see what you need to review, go over again, or ask questions about. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to review some of the past lessons, lessons 6 through 11. Then we're going to do the two review sheets, homework review sheets 3 and 4. And then we're going to go and complete lesson 12 and start the new lesson 13. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Okay, so let's get started quickly with the review of lessons 6 through 11. Okay, again, in this kind of review, we're not actually going to read everything in the English part of the book. We're not going to read all of the points in totality, the English key. But rather, what we're going to do is try to summarize the main points, even some points we might not even mention, if they are really secondary points that are probably well known to all of us by now. But in any case, we're going to kind of just go through it quickly, right? So in lesson 6, there were 5 points. The first 3 points are the main points of this lesson, and the other 2 points are secondary. Okay, so the first point is the ism ishara hadhihi. This is the feminine of hadha. The ism ishara hadhihi, which means this or this is. It's used to point to things which are feminine. You know that everything in Arabic is either masculine or feminine. So if you are using an ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun, to point to something masculine, then we learned in lesson 1 that you use hadha for things which are masculine, singular, and near. If it is feminine, however, feminine, singular, and near, then you use hadhihi. So in this lesson we have hadhihi, and in the next lesson 7, we have the feminine ism ishara for things which are far, that is tilka. Hadhihi and tilka are the counterparts of what we learned in lesson 1 and 2, hadha and dharika. Hadhihi means this or this is, and tilka means that or that is. Okay, the second point in this lesson number 6 is that nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta at the end of the word. Yani, if you have a word that is masculine like mudarrisun and you want to make it feminine, then you simply add ta marbuta to the sin, and the sin now loses its tanween and the vowel becomes fatta. Ta marbuta is always preceded by fatta. So mudarrisun becomes mudarrisatun. Mudarrisatun. Okay, so nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta to the end of it, preceded by fatta. However, although most feminine nouns and adjectives have ta marbuta, there are certain words in Arabic which do not have the ta marbuta ending, and you have to learn them. As you learn them, you have to identify and recognize that this word, even though it doesn't have ta marbuta, is feminine. You have to learn that as you learn new words. Also, there are some words in Arabic which are not made feminine by adding tarmabuta. They have a separate word altogether, like ibnun, son, daughter is bintun. and akhun, brother. Sister is ukhtun. So also we have to pay attention to this. The important thing is that nouns and adjectives are made feminine in Arabic by adding ta marbuta, and the last letter before ta marbuta should have a fatha. They also mentioned that parts of the body that are double, that are in pairs, are generally feminine, and those which are not in pairs are masculine. The third point in this lesson is the preposition li. We had in lesson 4 prepositions. We had fi, and we had ala, and ila, and min. And in this lesson we have li, which means belongs to or for. Yani hadha li bilal. Means this is for Bilal. This belongs to Bilal. So it's a preposition, and what we need to know about prepositions is that the noun following the preposition, the object of the preposition, is always going to be in the majrur case, yani genitive case, and the primary sign of a word being genitive is kasra. So whenever you see a noun following a preposition, yani the primary sign that indicates that it's majrur is that it takes kasra. The other two points in this lesson were just two words, aydan, which means also, and jiddan, which means very. Yani like kabirun jiddan, very big. In lesson 7 we had tilka, I already mentioned that. That's the feminine counterpart of thalika, which means that or that is. In lesson 8 we had 4 points. 4 points. The first three are the most important. The first point is usually the most important point, and it is, yani, it is what we can call the ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun, الَّذِي لَهُ بَدَل. The ism ishara that has a bedel. Yani it's a bedel construction. The ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam means that it's a bedel construction. That means that the ism ishara can be replaced by the word that follows it with alif lam. Like هذا الكتاب. Okay? So الكتاب can replace هذا. You don't need هذا. And likewise, you can get rid of الكتاب and just use هذا. Either one of them can be used, yani, independently of the other, although together they make a more complete meaning. But badal means one can be exchanged for the other. Now what is important here is that when you have an ism ishara followed by alif lam, that's a badal construction, and it doesn't mean this is the book. It doesn't mean this the book. It means this book. Okay? Hada followed by a noun with alif lam is a badal construction. It means هذا الكتاب, this book. هذا الولد, this boy. As opposed to the same ism ishara, if it's followed by the same word without alif lam, with tanween, that would be a complete sentence. هذا كتابٌ means this is a book. That's a complete sentence. هذا الكتاب means this book. Now you still need a khabar, a predicate, in order to complete the sentence. For example, هذا الكتاب, yani this book is jadidun. Okay, all demonstrative pronouns can be used in this way to make the badal construction. Hada or hadihi, thalika or tilka, or even their plurals, followed by a noun with alif lam is a badal construction. Okay, it means that you have the mubtada and you have its badal, and then you still need to complete the sentence, you need a predicate or a yani khabar. The second point of this lesson is the i'rab of the maksur, the ism maksur, meaning the noun that ends with alif. Either whether it is alif maksura, that's written like a ya at the end of the word without the two dots, or alif mamduda, like amrika, yani it ends with fatha alif, or like al mustashfa, it ends with fatha, yani alif, but this alif is the one that looks like a ya without its dots. It's called alif maksura. Alif maksura is the one that looks like ya. Alif mamduda is the one that looks like a straight up and down, yani, line, like a one, number one. Any word that ends with this alif, mamduda or maksura, at the end of the word, then it means that this word, you will not see its i'rab. You will not see the changing of the vowel from dhamma to kasra to fatha. Rather, it will remain in one condition, no matter when it is marfu'un or mansubun or majrurun. It's, the vowel ending is not going to change. So this is called the ism maksur. And what we have to know here is that when it's following a preposition, it's not going to change to kasra. Or when it's the mudaf ilayhi, it's not going to change to kasra. Or if it was yani marfu'un, in the place where it's marfu'un, or mubtada or khabar, it's not going to take dhamma. It's always going to remain in one condition. The Irab is a special type of Irab that we'll take in level 3. The third point of this lesson is the Dharf, Khalfa, which means behind, and Amama, which means in front of. These are adverbs of place. And previously we had in lesson 5, Tahta, which means underneath. All of these are adverbs of place. And the meaning of this, yani dharf al-makan in Arabic, the meaning of it is, it's an adverb that indicates a something's position or place, in front of, behind, underneath, above, and so on, like this. And the grammatical rule related to adverbs, these two and any other ones, is that the noun following the adverb is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi majroor. The primary sign that it's majroor is kasra. So when you see a noun following khalfa, khalfa al-masjidi, or amam al-masjidi, it means that that noun following it, following the adverb, the dharf, it's going to be mudhafun ilayhi majroor, primary sign being kasra. The last point is the verb jalasa, which means he sat. This means that the action is completed. It's a past tense verb. The action is completed. And it's different from, for example, yani a present tense verb or yani other, something other than that. Now, what is important here is that this is just a verb. It's a past tense verb. It means he sat, just like the past tense verb. Dakhala means he entered. Kharaja means he exited. Dhahaba means he went away, and so on. That's what we had in lesson 8. In lesson 9, we had the very, very important topic of na'at and man'ut, the adjective and the noun that it qualifies. Like baytun jadidun, a new house. Baytun is the man'ut, and jadidun is the na'at, the adjective. In Arabic, the rules that we need to know about the na'at and the man'ut, and we should know them by now. We have, yani, been looking at this for some time now. I see there's a question here. I'm not normally looking at the screen, but I see there's a question. What book are we in right now? We're in Medina Book 1. Yani, Medina Book 1. From the Medina University Arabic Language Institute. And we're reviewing some of the previous lessons that we have taken. Right now we're looking at lesson number 9. The English key is on page 21. And 22. In any case, we're just summarizing some of these lessons. So in lesson 9, we had the very important matter, number 1, yani 2 points in the first part of this lesson and 4 more points in the second part of this lesson. The first 2 points are related to the na'at and the man'ut, that is, the adjective and the word that it qualifies. And what we want to say here is that, unlike English, the adjective, the na'at, in Arabic, follows the word that is qualifying. So if you want to say a new house, you have to say house first, and then describe it. What is this description? It's new. It's big. Yani, it's expensive or whatever. Okay, so the not, the adjective, follows the word that it qualifies. It follows the man'ut. And also we said that it follows it, meaning it is in agreement with it in 4 matters. In this lesson we took 3 of them. Gender, definite and indefiniteness, and case ending. The 4th one is number, being singular, dual, or plural. We're going to take that later on. But for now, we need to know that the not, when it follows a noun that it is qualifying, that it is describing, that adjective must agree with the word that it's describing in gender. So, if the man'ut, the word being qualified, is masculine, the not must also be masculine. If it is feminine, the not must also be feminine. So, waladun, صغيرٌ, يعني صغيرٌ has to be masculine because ولدٌ is masculine. بنتٌ صغيرةٌ, يعني small girl, يعني صغيرةٌ has to be feminine because بنتٌ is feminine. Okay, like this. كتابٌ جديدٌ, كتاب is masculine, جديدٌ is masculine. سيارةٌ جديدةٌ, سيارةٌ is feminine, جديدةٌ has to be feminine. So it has to agree with it in gender and being masculine or feminine. التذكير والتعنيث, being مذكر or مؤنث. The second point, it has to agree with it in being definite or indefinite. يعني التنكير والتعريف, being نكرة, indefinite, or معرفة, definite. Okay, so here what we're saying is that if the man'ut, the word being qualified, is indefinite, the not, the adjective describing it, has to also be indefinite. So you say بلالٌ مدرسٌ جديدٌ. Bilal is a new teacher. Mudarrisun is indefinite with tanween. So jadidun also has to be indefinite with tanween. As opposed to, if you said al-mudarrisu al-jadidu fil-fasli, the new teacher is in the classroom, al-mudarrisu, the man'ut, is definite with alif-lam. So jadid also has to take alif-lam al-jadidu to agree with it and being definite or indefinite. The third thing is in case, yani in i'rab, the case ending being marfu or mansub or majroor, yani if the man'ut is marfu'un, then the na'at must also be marfu'un with dhamma. If it is majroor with kasra, then the na'at must also be majroor with kasra, either single kasra or double kasra. Yani whatever the original, the man'ut had, if it has a single vowel because it has alif lam, then it's going to change from a single dhamma to a single kasra or a single fatha and so on. Okay, it has to agree with it in case ending. It has to agree with it in being definite or indefinite. It has to agree with it in being masculine or feminine. The na'at and the man'ut. This is a very important matter in Arabic grammar. The second point in lesson 9, the first part of this lesson, are adjectives that end with fatha, alif, noon. And those types of adjectives, because of their pattern, their wazn, yani, they are considered mamnu' min as-sarf, diptotes. That is, they don't take tanween. So the word, yani, the root word is ka, seen lam for kaslan. Ka, kaf, seen lam. When it has attached to it this extra ending an, fatha alif noon, then this pattern, yani, makes it, yani, makes an adjective a diptote, mamnu' min as-sarf, so that it doesn't take tanween when the extra alif and noon are added to the end of a word. So you have kaslan, jaw'an, atashan, ghadaban. All of these are words that the root, triliteral root of the word has added to it an extra alif and extra noon. And these words are mamnu' min as-sarf. They don't take tanween, or when they are majroor, they don't take kasra. In the second part of this lesson, we also had the relative pronoun, an ism al-mawsool, which when it's referring to people, the word alladhi means who. And if it's referring to things, it means which. This is the relative pronoun. It's used in a sentence to give us more information about the subject. The next point in this lesson was the preposition li. When it is added to a word that has alif lam, the alif of the definite article, alif lam, the alif is omitted. So, al-imamu, if you wanted to say this is for the imam, li al-imam, then the alif from the alif lam, al, the alif is omitted, and instead of saying li al-imam, you just say lil-imam, al-mudarris, lil-mudarris. Okay, so the preposition li, when it's added to a word that has alif lam, the definite article alif lam, when it's added, then the alif from the definite article alif lam is omitted, and the li, the lam with kasra, is added directly to the lam of the definite article without the alif. The fourth point in the part B of lesson 9 is the dharf, dharf al-makan, inda, which means to be with. Okay, inda is a dharf, just like we had previously in lesson 8, amama and khalfa, and in lesson 5, tahta. These are adverbs of place, dharf al-makan. And the grammatical rule related to this is that the noun following the adverb, the dharf al-makan, the noun following it is going to be mudafun ilayhi majroor. So the noun following is going to take kasra as the primary sign. So if you said al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri, inda al-mudiri, al-mudir is the noun following the dharf inda. So therefore, it's mudafun ilayhi majroor. The primary sign of being majroor is kasra. So that's what we had in lesson 9. And in lesson 10, we had a lot of points. Okay, I'm going to just go over a couple of them quickly, because we've gone over this before. And I just want to remind you, in case, yani, you have forgotten, or in case you didn't review, you didn't do the homework, then I'm going to make you do the homework now with me. Okay, so the first thing we had in lesson 10, on page 25 of the English key, we had possessive pronouns. Four possessive pronouns. Ya al-mutakallam, ha, hu, and ka. Okay? So, for example, if you wanted to say, this is your book, and you're speaking to an individual, single male, yani anta, and you want to say, this is your book, you say, Kitabuka. If you're speaking about an individual single male, and you would say, this is his book, you say, Kitabu Hu. If it was an individual female, and you would say, this is her book, you say, Kitabu Ha. And if you were speaking about yourself, and you would say, this is my book, you say, Kitabi. Okay, so these pronouns, Ka, Hu, Ha, and E, these are possessive pronouns. Okay, if you were using a personal pronoun, speaking about yourself, I, you would say, Anna. If you were speaking to a male, you would say, Anta, you. If you were speaking about him, you would say, Hua, he. If you were speaking about her, you say, Hia, yani, she. Those are the personal pronouns. I, you, he, she, they, we, and so on. These are possessive pronouns showing possession. Your book, her book, his book, my book. Okay, so we had these in lesson 10. And the remaining possessive pronouns we are taking in the lessons that follow. We'll take some in lesson 13 today, inshallah. And in lesson 14 and 15, the remainder of them. The second point in this lesson is the Asma al-Khamsa, the five special nouns in Arabic. And from amongst them is Ab and Akh. These are words in Arabic that whenever they are in an idafa construction, as the first part of an idafa construction, like the your brother, for example, or your father, the father of you, or the brother of you. Because this is a construct phrase, so yani normally you would say, yani like we just had, kitabu ka, yani your book. But if I wanted to say your brother, these five words, when they are in this kind of idafa, you have to add a waw. Instead of it just being a dhamma, yani akhuhu, you have to add a waw. It became akhuhu. Abuhu became abuhu. So what we're saying here is that there are five special words in Arabic language. We're taking two of them today, ab and akh. Only when they are in an idafa construction, connected to a pronoun like hu or ha or ka, only when they are in this kind of idafa construction with a pronoun or with a clear noun. Like you could say Abu Hu or Abu Ha, or you could say Abu Muhammad or Akhu Muhammad. When it's in a construct phrase, then the sign of its i'rab, instead of being Dhamma for Marfoon, it's Dhamma Waw. The sign of its i'rab, if it's Marfoon, is Waw. The Dhamma has to be elongated by Waw. And we'll see later on that if it is Majroor with Kasra, the sign of it being Majroor would be Ya, Kasra Ya. And if it was Mansoob, the sign of being Mansoob instead of Fatta, we're going to see that it will be Aleph, yani Fatta, Aleph. These are five special words in the Arabic language. Ab and Akh are two of them. When they are in Idafa, and only when they are in Idafa, they have this special kind of I'rab that you have to add, you have to elongate whatever vowel is the sign of its I'rab. After that was the second point in lesson number 10. The third point was Inda, which we had in the previous lesson, that means to be with. Now we're saying that it also has another meaning, and that is to have. If you were to ask somebody, do you have a pen? You can say, A'indaka qalamun, or does Muhammad have a pen? A'inda Muhammadin qalamun, like this. Okay, so, inda, it means to be with. It's a dharf that means to be with, but it also has another meaning, and that is to have. Then we mentioned the preposition li. Here in this lesson we learned as point number 4 that the preposition li, when it's connected to pronouns other than the first person singular ya al-mutakallam e, other than that one, with every other pronoun, the kasra of li, the preposition li, its kasra becomes fatha. So you don't say lika, lihu, liha, you say laka, lahu, laha. Except with ya al-mutakallam. Ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra, so it's going to be li, I have. Okay, also we had in this lesson further conjugation of the past tense verb. We had the second person, masculine singular, anta, dhahabta, and the first person singular, ana, dhahabtu. And we will continue with the conjugation of the past tense verb in future lessons. And point number 6, we said that, as we learned previously, that feminine proper nouns, the names of females, that they are mamnu' min as-sarf. They don't take tanween. Now we're saying that even a masculine proper noun, if it ends with ta marbuta, the feminine ending, like hamzatu, usamatu, and muawiyatu, masculine proper nouns, they end with ta marbuta, take on the ruling of feminine proper nouns, meaning they are mamnoon and sarf, diptos. They don't take tanween, and if they are majrur, they don't take kasra, they take fatah instead. The next point that we had was the dharf ma'a. Okay, dharf ma'a means with, like inda means with, and like amama and khalfa and tahta, it's a dharf. The noun following it is going to be majrur. The noun following it is going to be majrur. Primary sign that it's going to take is kasra. So if you say ma'a al-mudarris, then al-mudarris is going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur with kasra, ma'a al-mudarrisi. The difference between inda, meaning with, and ma'a, meaning with, is that inda means that you are with that person in the place that they are known for. Yani the principal in his office, the imam in the masjid, the teacher in his classroom, like this. Whereas ma'a is unrestricted. Yani you are with him, you could be with him anywhere. The next point we had is the preposition bi. Just like fi, and ala, and min, and ila, and li, it's a preposition, harf jar. And the rule concerning prepositions is that the noun following it becomes yani majrur, ism majrur. So if you said bil jamiati, it means yani al jamiati became majrur because of the preposition bi, and bi means at or in. Bil jamiati, at the university or in the university. The last point we had is ma nafiya. The ma that means negation. Yani if you said indi sayaratun, yani with me is a car, I have a car, but ma would make it, and it would negate that statement from being an affirmation to negation. عندي سيارة, I have a car. ما عندي سيارة, I do not have a car. This is ما النافية as opposed to ما الاستفهامية that we had in lesson 1. Like ما هذا, ما الاستفهامية. This is ما النافية, negation. The last lesson that we wanted to look at quickly is lesson number 11, which is actually a review lesson. And it only contained the verb uhibbu, which means to love, and it contained yani the pronouns hu and ha connected to the preposition fi. So you say fihi, in it. Fiha, in it also for something feminine. Yani fihi, in it, when the thing that you're saying in it is masculine. Fiha, if the thing that you're saying in it is feminine. Yani fi, yani if you're talking about gurfa, then you say fiha, in it, in the gurfa, because gurfa is feminine. If you're talking about bait, bait is masculine, you say fihi, in it, yani meaning in the house, use the, because it's masculine. The thing about uhibbu that we just want to mention here, we're not going into the present tense verbs here, but what we want to note is that the object of a verb is in the accusative case, it's mansub. So if you say, I love Allah, you say uhibbu Allaha, yani the object of the verb becomes mansub. The primary sign of it being mansub is fatha. Uhibbu ar-rasula sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uhibbu al-lugata al-arabiyata. I love Arabic language, and so on. Okay, so that's what we had in these lessons from 6 to 11. This is just a quick review, and I hope that you on your own will be constantly going back, doing muraja'ah, yani going back, constantly reviewing the earlier lessons that we took so that we don't forget them. Okay, now, quickly, we just want to go over the homework review sheets that are like an exam for you. And now you're gonna you'll have a chance, in case there were any that you were not sure about, you have a chance to take a look at them and see yani if you got any of them wrong. Hopefully everybody got all of them right. We're going to quickly read from page 3, which deals with ذَلِكَ and تِلْكَ. Okay, these are both ism ishara, demonstrative pronoun, that are used to point to things which are masculine or feminine, but far away. Dhalika for masculine things, tilka for feminine things, yani meaning that masculine or that feminine. So this exercise says, imla al-farag bi dhalika aw tilka. Fill in the blank spaces or the empty spaces with the word dhalika or the word tilka. Okay, so how are you going to choose dhalika tilka? If the word at the end of the sentence is masculine, then you're going to say dhalika, because dhalika is the ism ishara used for things which are masculine. If the thing is feminine, then you're going to use tilka, because tilka is used for things which are feminine. Okay, let's go through this exercise quickly, because you've already done it for homework, inshallah. So what we're doing here is just checking to see if we have any mistakes in yani, these exercises. Okay, so we're on page 3, and I'm going to read straight down the right column from 1 through 9, and then the left column from 10 through 18. And, yani, please compare with your answers, and also, yani, read with me, and translate with me, okay? Number 1. Tilka maktabatun. Maktabatun is feminine with tamabuta, so you have to use tilka. Yani, that is a maktaba, a library or bookstore. Number 2. Thalika maktabun. That is an office or desk or table. Thalika maktabun. Maktabun is masculine, so you have to use thalika. Here, I just want to note the difference between maktabatun with tamabuta and maktabun without tamabuta. Maktabatun with tamabuta means library or bookstore. Maktabun means an office or desk or table. Number 3. Yedun. This one, pay attention. Yedun doesn't have tamabuta, but we should know by now that yedun is mu'annath. It's feminine. How do we know that it's feminine? Because remember we said in our review lessons that we went over today, we said that parts of the body that are double, that are in pairs, like two hands, two eyes, two feet, two legs, that they are generally feminine. So yedun is feminine, even though it doesn't have tarmabuta. So we have to put here tilka. Tilka yedun. That is a hand. Number 4. Tilka mudiratun. That is a female principal. And it's clear that mudiratun is feminine, right? It ends with tarmabuta. Number 5. Thalika sukkarun. That is sugar. Number 6. Thalika shari'un. That is a street. Number 7. Tilka nafidhatun. That is a window. Nafidhatun is clearly feminine. Mu'annath. It ends with ta marbuta. Number 8. Thalika babun. That is a door. Number 9. Thalika femun. That is a mouth. How do we know that femun is masculine? Well, it doesn't have tarmabuta, and likewise, the parts of the body that are not in pairs are generally masculine. Generally masculine if they are not in pairs. So you only have one mouth, even if you have a lot of it. So it's masculine. Thalika femun. Okay, we're still on page 3. Let's go to the left column from 10 through 18. The first one, or number 10. Thalika waladun. That is a boy. Number 11. Tilka bintun. That is a girl. Number 12. Bintun doesn't have tarmabuta, but we know bint means girl. Girl has to be automatically feminine. We don't even have to figure that one out, right? Number 12. Thalika wajhun. Part of the body. You only have one face. Yani, except they say what? That the munafiqun are dhu wajhain. They have two faces. Yani, two-faced. One face over there with those people, another face over here. But generally speaking, we say everybody has one face. So it's masculine. Thalika wajhun. That is a face. Number 13. Tilka mikwatun. Mikwatun. That is a iron. Yani, that you iron your clothes with. Number 14. Tilka aynun. That is an eye. An eye, you have two of them, right? So it is feminine. 15. Thalika tabibun. That is a doctor. 16. Tilka qidrun. That is a pot. Here again, qidrun is one of those words. Remember we said that there are certain words that do not have tarmabuta ending, and yet they are feminine. You have to learn those words, and you have to learn that they are feminine when you learn that word. You have to remember that qidrun, even though it doesn't have tarmabuta, no sign that it's feminine, but the Arabs have made it feminine, therefore, you have to treat it like any other feminine word. Tilka, feminine. Tilka, qidrun. That is a pot, cooking pot that you cook in. 17. Thalika, himarun. That is a donkey. 18. Tilka, udhunun. Ears. There are two of them, right? So it's feminine. Tilka, udhunun. That is an ear. Okay, let's go to page 4 of the homework review sheets. Okay, this one is dealing with primarily ma, which means what, asking about things, and men, which means who, asking about people. Ma and men. These words we had, yani, in the beginning of book 1 and lesson 1, ma and men. The instruction says, قَوِّنْ أَسْئِلَةً لِلْرُّدُودِ الْآتِيَةِ. Compose answers for the reply, any for the rudud, yani the answers, as'ila, questions for the rudud, the replies, the following replies. Musta'amilan, using either ma or men. So they gave us answers, they gave us a reply, and they want us to what? Compose questions that will appropriately, yani, fit with those answers, okay? So, there are two things you have to look at here. The first and most important thing you have to look at is ma and men. When do you use ma? When the answer indicates that we're talking about a human being, then the question has to say men, who? If the answer indicates that we're talking about an inanimate thing other than a human being, then we have to use ma, what? What is this? For people, who is this? Look at the answer and determine if you're going to use ma or men. There's one other thing that you have to pay attention to in this exercise, and that is the ism ishara. In the answer, if they said hadha, in the question, you have to use hadha. If in the answer they said tilka, in the question, you have to use tilka. If in the answer they said dhalika, in the question, you have to use dhalika. So also you have to pay attention to the ism ishara that they used in the answer in order to compose an appropriate, suitable question. Okay, so you have to pay attention to the ism ishara. Hadha and hadihi and dhalika and tilka. Alright? So two things you have to look at. Using ma for things and men for people. And also you have to look at the ism ishara that they gave us in the answer. And you have to comply with that ism ishara. Do it the same way they did it in the answer. Okay, the first one they gave us. Okay, the first one they gave us an example. Men hadha, that would be the question that I would make up for the answer. Hadha Bilal. If I saw the answer is Hadha Bilalun, this is Bilal, then the question has to be, who is this? Not what is this? Ma Hadha. Because it's clear from the answer that I'm talking about a person. Right? Okay, number two. Hadha Miftahun. The question, we know it's talking about a thing, right? Because this is a key. So the question would be, Ma Hadha. What is this? Number three. The answer is Hadha Abbasun. We know that the question has to be about a person, Abbas. So the question would be with men hadha. Who is this? This is Abbas. Number four, the answer is tilka nafidhatun. That is a window. So I know we're asking about a thing, so I'm going to use ma, but I also have to use the same ism ishara, tilka. So the question would be ma tilka. What is that? Tilka nafidhatun. That is a window. Number five, the answer is tilka maryamun. Maryamu, I'm sorry, without tanween, right? Because feminine proper nouns don't take tanween. Tilka Maryamu. That is Maryam. So the question has to be about a person. Men tilka. Number six. The answer is hadihi baqtatun. This is a duck. Okay? So it's not a person, so I'm going to say ma hadihi. What is this? Hadihi baqtatun. With shadda on the ta. Number seven, the answer is هذا بيتٌ. This is a house. I'm asking about a thing. The question is going to be ما هذا? What is this? Number eight, ذلك كلبٌ. That is a dog. The question is not about a human, so I'm going to say ما ذلك? What is that? ذلك كلبٌ. That is a dog. Number nine, the last one. The answer, there are two answers. ذلك خالدٌ وتلك خديجةٌ. So I know I'm asking about people. One is a male and one is a female, so the asma al-ishara are going to be masculine and feminine, but the question word I'm going to use here is going to be for a person, men. Men dhalika wa men tilka. Men dhalika, dhalika khalidun wa men tilka. And who is that? Tilka khadija tu. Without tanween. Okay, these are the sheets that we had for homework. I hope, inshallah, yani if this was actually a real exam, that everybody, inshallah, did well on it. Okay, let's go now to the remaining exercises from the previous lesson. That is lesson number 12. We had two exercises remaining, yani exercise number 5 and 6 on page 66 and 67. Now, I think I wanted to do something here. Okay, in any case, the important thing here is that For lesson number 12, we dealt with a number of points. Okay, the main point that we want to keep in mind right now is what's related to this particular exercise. That is exercise number 5 and 6. Both of them deal with al-ism al-mawsool. And what remains in this lesson is al-ism al-mawsool. Otherwise, yani, in this lesson we said that yani, we had yani, some possessive pronouns and personal pronouns and verb forms, and we had yani, the relative pronoun alladhi. Okay, this relative pronoun, it means who when you're talking about people. It means which if you're talking about things. The one who or that which. Okay, the relative pronoun in ism al-mawsool, it is used to give us further information about the subject. The masculine is alladhi, the feminine is allati. Okay, alladhi means the one who, when you in reference to something that is masculine, and a human or otherwise, and allati is when you are bringing information about something that is feminine, whether human or otherwise. Okay, if it is a human, we say the one who, and if it is otherwise, we say that which. Yani the thing which. Ism mawsool, relative pronoun, brings us more information about the subject. It comes with a relative clause. Comes with a relative clause. And the relative clause is that extra information that it's bringing. Okay, so let's look at the main part of the lesson. Main part of lesson 12. On page 66, exercise number 5. Both of these exercises, 5 and 6, are related to the relative pronoun. So we're going to see the relative pronoun, alladhi or allati, and we're going to see some extra information that comes with it about the subject of the sentence. The exercise number 5 says, اقرأ الجملة الآتية. Read the following sentences. Okay, there are 4 sentences for exercise number 5. We're going to read them. We're going to pay attention to alladhi, the relative pronoun, and we're going to pay attention to the words that's attached to it, that it brings us, yani, the extra information through. Okay, so, number 1 says, man al-fata. If we join them together, we say, man al-fata alladhi kharaja min baytika al-ana. من الفتى الذي خرج من بيتك الآن? Who is the فتى, the young man? الذي, يعني masculine, right? Because الفتى is masculine. يعني الفتاة is feminine. الفتى is masculine. من الفتى? Who is the young man? الذي خرج. Who came out من بيتك, from your house, الآن, just now. Who is the young man? Who came out of your house just now? Answer. Huwa ibn ammi. Huwa ibn ammi. He is the son of my uncle. Yani am is the paternal uncle. Yani the brother of your father. Am. As opposed to khal, which is the maternal uncle, the brother of your mother. Huwa ibn ammi, he is the son of my paternal uncle, my cousin. He is my cousin. Okay, what is important here is, al-fata is masculine, so we use alladhi, and then the information that came with it, the one who, kharaja min baytika al-ana, who is the one who just now came out of your house. Okay, number 2. Man al-fatatu allati kharajat min baytika al-ana, ya? Muhammadu. Man al-fatatu, who is the young lady? Allati, who? Kharajat. Feminine, right? Third person, feminine, singular, or past tense verb. Kharajat. Allati kharajat, who came out? Min baytika, of your house, al-ana, just now. Ya Muhammadu. Oh, Muhammad. Remember, the munada. The noun that comes after ya, the vocative ya, the munada takes a single dhamma. It's mabniyun ala dhamma. So even though Muhammadun is a masculine proper noun which takes tanween, but after ya and nida takes a single dhamma. Ya Muhammadu. So who is the young lady who just came out of your house? O Muhammad, hiya bintu khalati. Hiya bintu, the daughter of khalati, my maternal aunt. Khala is aunt. Yani, your mother's sister, maternal aunt. Khalati, my aunt. She is the daughter of my maternal aunt, or my yani cousin. Also, cousin, female cousin, from the mother's side. Okay, here we just want to note that the difference between yani am and khal. Am means paternal uncle, khal means maternal uncle. And likewise, the feminine forms amma is the paternal aunt, and khala is the maternal aunt. Yani, sister of your mother. Number three. Liman al-miftahu alladhi ala al-maktabi. Yani, to whom belongs the key which is on the desk or the table? Liman al-miftah. Again, liman, yani the noon has sukoon, but because it's followed by hamzatul wasl, we add kasra, right? Liman al-miftahu alladhi ala al-maktabi. To whom belongs the miftah? Which, here, we're talking about a key, it's a thing, so we don't say who, we say the key which is ala al-maktabi, on the table. Answer, huwa lil-mudarrisi. It, meaning the miftah, which is on the table, it, lil-mudarrisi, belongs to the teacher. And again, al-mudarris loses the alif from the definite article al, because of the preposition li. Remember we said, when li is added to a noun that has alif lam, it loses its alif. So it became, li al-mudarris became lil-mudarrisi, and li is a preposition, so al-mudarris became majroor, the primary sign of it being majroor is kasra. Number four, liman as-sa'atu allati ala as-sariri. Yani, again, men has sukoon, but because it's followed by alif lam in as-sa'a, it became liman as-sa'atu. Liman as-sa'atu allati ala as-sariri. To whom belongs the sa'a, the watch, or clock? To whom belongs the sa'a, the watch, allati, which? Yani, which is ala as-sariri, on the bed. Hiya, meaning it, the sa'a, sa'a is feminine. Hiya, it is li zawji, it belongs to the zawj of ukhti, the husband of my sister, yani my brother-in-law. Liman as-sa'atu allati ala as-sariri, to whom belongs the watch, which is on the bed. Hiya li zawji ukhti, it belongs to the husband of my sister. Okay, that's the end of exercise number four. It's just giving us examples of the use of alladhi and allati, who or which, masculine and feminine. Exercise number six, the last exercise for this lesson, number 12. It says, أكمل الجملة الآتية. أكمل الجملة الآتية بوضع اسم موصول مناسب. يعني, complete the following sentences بوضع, by putting اسم, a noun, موصول, يعني, meaning a relative pronoun, اسم موصول, a relative pronoun, munasibin, that is appropriate or suitable. Yani, put the correct, proper, suitable relative pronoun, ism mawsool. Alladhi, if the thing that it's referring to is masculine. Allati, if the thing that it's referring to is feminine. Fil faragi, in the spaces. Complete the following sentences by putting the suitable, a suitable relative pronoun, either alladhi or allati, in the farag, in the blank space or in the empty spaces. Number one, al-kitabu is masculine, so we're going to use what? Al-ladhi. Al-kitabu al-ladhi ala al-maktabi lil-mudarrisi. The book which is on the maktab, on the table, lil-mudarrisi, belongs to the teacher. Al-kitab is the mubtada, lil-mudarrisi is the khabar. The rest of this, alladhi is the relative pronoun, and ala al-maktabi is the relative clause that brings us extra information about the book. The book which is on the table, or on the desk. What about that book which is on the table, on the desk? It belongs to the teacher. That's the khabar, that's the predicate. Lil-mudarrisi. Al-kitabu, alladhi ala al-maktabi, lil-mudarrisi. Okay, let's go to page 67, completing what follows from this exercise number 6. Number 2, al-qalamu, masculine, al-ladhi fi haqibati maksurun, the pen which fi haqibati is in my bag or my briefcase is maksurun, broken. Okay, again, the pen is the mubtada, al-qalamu, and maksurun is the khabar. The rest of it, alladhi fi haqibati, is just extra information. Without that, the sentence is complete. Al-qalamu maksurun, the pen is broken. But I want to give you more information about the pen, so I say alladhi, which fi haqibati, is in my bag, it is broken. So alladhi is the relative pronoun, fi haqibati is the relative clause. All of that is extra information about al-qalam. Number 3, as-sayyaratu التي خرجت من المستشفى الآن للطبيب الجديد. The car التي which خرجت went out من المستشفى from the hospital الآن just now للطبيب belongs to the doctor الجديد the new doctor. Okay, again السيارة is the مبتدا and للطبيب is the خبر. The car belongs to the doctor. As far as al-jadid, it's a not describing the doctor. And the rest of the information, التي خرجت من المستشفى الآن, is the relative pronoun in the relative clause, extra information. Number 4, الكلب, masculine, الذي في الحديقة مريض. The dog, which is in the garden, is sick. Okay, again, الكلب is the مبتدا. Maridun is the khabar. The sentence is complete without the extra information. Al-kalbu maridun, the dog is sick. That's a complete sentence, mubtada and khabar. Alladhi fil hadiqati is the relative pronoun, relative clause, extra information. Number 5. Al-fata, masculine. Alladhi kharaja min al-masjidil al-ana ibnu al-mu'adhini. Al-fata alladhi kharaja min al-masjidil al-ana ibnu al-mu'adhini. Yani the young man who, alladhi, who went out from the masjid just now, is the son of the muezzin. Okay, here al-fata is the mubtada, ibnu is the khabar. Muezzin is mudafun ilayhi majroor, and the rest of it is the relative pronoun, relative clause, extra information. The one who went out of the masjid just now. The young man who went out of the masjid just now is the son of the muezzin. The caller to prayer. Number 6. Tilka al-baqfatu التي تحت الشجرة لبنت الفلاح. يعني that بطة, that duck, التي which is تحت الشجرة, under the tree. تحت is a ظرف المكان. الشجرة is مضاف إليه مجرور with كسرة. That duck, which is under the tree, لبنت الفلاح, belongs to the daughter of the farmer. Okay, so tilka is the mubtada, al-batta is badal, yani ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam is badal. That duck, tilka is the actual mubtada and badal is, and al-batta is the badal. The khabar is li binti, yani that belongs to the daughter. That's the basic sentence. Tilka li binti. But bint who? Which bint? Bint al-falah, al-falah is mudafun ilayhi majroor. Number 7, al-baytu. الجديد الذي في ذلك الشارع للوزير. البيت الجديد, the new house, الذي which is في ذلك الشارع, in that street, للوزير, belongs to the minister in government, the government minister. Okay, in this sentence, البيت is the مبتدا and للوزير is the خبر. So the sentence is complete without any extra information. البيت للوزير, the house belongs to the minister. Al-jadid is a not describing the house, the new house. Al-ladhi fi dhalika shari is the relative pronoun and the relative clause, and lil-waziri is the jawl majroor, yani shibr jumla khabar. Number 8. Ad-darsu al-ladhi ba'da hadha ad-darsi sahlun jiddan. That's not exactly so. Lesson 13 is not so easy. Yani it's quite involved. But any case, الدرس الذي بعد هذا الدرس سهل جدا. The lesson which الذي which is after بعد هذا الدرس after this lesson is سهل easy جدا very easy it's very easy. Okay, الدرس is the مبتدا and سهل is the خبر. And the rest of it is just extra information. But you said that الدرس سهل, the sentence is complete. Number 9. من الفتاة التي جلست أمام المدرسة هي طالبة من ماليزيا. من الفتاة التي جلست أمام المدرسة. Who is the young lady? التي who جلست sat أمام المدرسة in front of the مدرسة, the female teacher. Who is that young lady who sat in front of the female teacher? هي طالبة. She is a female student. من Malaysia. From Malaysia. Number 10. أتلك الحقيبة التي تحت المكتب لك يا خالد. This is a question. أتلك الحقيبة التي تحت المكتبة لك يا خالد. Is that حقيبة? Is that bag? That briefcase? التي which is تحت المكتبي under the desk لك does it belong to you أو خالد يا خالد. The answer لا هي لصديقي محمد. No, it يعني الحقيبة it لصديقي belongs to my صديق my friend محمد. Okay, so this is the end of يعني lesson number 12, except that we'll just look quickly at the vocabulary words. الكلمات الجديدة, the new words. العم means أخو الأبي. يعني العم means the brother of the father. يعني the paternal uncle. Going across, العمة means أخت الأبي, the sister of the father. Meaning, the paternal aunt, يعني the sister of the father, paternal aunt. الخالو means أخو الأمي, the brother of the mother, يعني the maternal uncle. The brother of one's mother is the maternal uncle, the uncle from the mother's side. الخالتو means aunt, أخت الأمي, the sister of the mother. يعني the sister of one's mother is the maternal aunt, the aunt from the mother's side. الفلاح والشدة on the lamb. الفلاح means the farmer. And مستشفى means hospital. الولادة means childbirth. يعني the hospital of childbirth or the maternity hospital. مستشفى الولادة. And this is the end of lesson 12. والحمد لله رب العالمين. After this, and we go into our new lesson. Let's see how much time we have left. We've covered a lot of time today. Wallahu musta'an. In any case, we're going to look at whatever we can from lesson number 13. And then next week, inshallah, we're going to go a little bit more deeply into lesson number 13. Okay, so let me just mention here, lesson number 13 is a lengthy lesson, probably the longest lesson in the book. It's in three parts, part A, B, and C, Aleph, Ba, and Jim. And it deals with things related to plurals. Okay, this lesson deals with things related to plurals. This is a very, very important lesson. It's going to give us a number of different things. The first thing it's going to tell us is that the plurals are in three categories. First, we're going to divide them into sound plurals and broken plurals. Okay, this is just an overview. Sound plurals and broken plurals. Sound plurals mean the word remains intact and you add something to the end of it to make the plural. Like you add an S to a word in English to make a plural. Broken plural means that the word is going to be broke up within the actual framework of the word. Meaning something is going to be placed in the middle of it. Or in the beginning and the middle of it and so on. It's not going to remain intact. Okay, things are going to be added to it. Beginning, middle, and end and so on. That's broken plural. Okay, so this is the first two categories. Sound plural and broken plural. What we want to say about sound plurals is that they are further divided into two types. Yani, masculine sound plural and feminine sound plural. So the sound plurals are of two categories. Okay, so you have sound plurals, masculine sound, feminine sound. And they are sound, meaning you add something to the end of it. For the sound plural, you add una. For the sound masculine plural, for the sound feminine plural, you add at. Yani, fatta alif ta. Ta maftuha. So that's two types of plurals. Masculine sound plural, feminine sound plural. The third thing is, as we said, broken plurals. Broken plurals have many patterns. Awzan. Wazan means a pattern that it follows in terms of its voweling and things like that. That you take the root letters, the triliteral root, basically, which are, and each one, they're called radicals, the first radical, the second radical, the third radical. And these first, yani, this first, second, and third radical, three root letters, are represented in patterns by the Arabic letters fa, ayn, and lam. All the patterns are going to have fa, ayn, and lam. It's just that we're going to rearrange the voweling, okay? And that's how where the pattern comes in. The pattern tells us what to do with the first letter, the fa, what to do with the second letter, the ayn, what to do with the third letter, the lam. So when you see fa, it means the first root letter of the word. When you see ayn, it means the second root letter of the word. What you're going to do with it? What vowels you're going to put on it? Sukoon, long vowel, short vowel, fatta, kasra, dhamma, whatever. Shadda. Okay, when you see lam, that means the third root letter, the third radical. What you're going to do with it, okay? So fa represents the first root letter. Ayn represents the second root letter. Lam represents the third root letter. And the pattern is going to tell you what kind of voweling to do with those three root letters and what to add before it and what to add after it and what to add in the middle of it and so on. Okay? So the broken plurals have many patterns, more than 20. In this lesson, we're going to take 8 of them. We're going to take 8 of them. And of those 8, 2 of them are broken plural patterns that are mamnoon in a surf, meaning they're not going to take tanween. And they don't take kesra if they're majroor. Okay? So this is the overview of this lesson, that it's going to be dealing with three types of plurals. Sound plurals, which are two types, masculine sound and feminine sound, and broken plurals. The other thing that this lesson is going to deal with, it's going to deal with plural possessive pronouns, plural personal pronouns, and plural demonstrative pronouns, and plural verb forms. Okay, third person plurals. Personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, demonstrative pronouns, and, yani, past tense, plural, third person plural, verb forms. Okay, so all of it is dealing with plurals, but other than sound plurals and broken plurals, and masculine sound and feminine sound, it's going to deal with, yani, third person plurals. Personal pronouns, hum and hunna, possessive pronouns, again, hum and hunna, demonstrative pronouns, ha'ulai and that and ulaika, and the verb, third person plural verb forms, dhahabu, for the masculine, hum dhahabu, and for the feminine, hunna, dhahabna. This is the overview of this lesson. Okay, that's what we're going to cover in this lesson. So it's a lot of information. It's divided into three parts, and we're going to take each part separately. We're going to take at least 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, to cover this lesson. And I'm not going to count this week because we don't have a lot of time left today. So we're going to take at least 3 more weeks after today, whatever we cover today. Okay? So we still have close to a half an hour remaining, approximately. So let's see what we can cover from the first part of Lesson 13. Okay, first part of Lesson 13, English Key, page 33 and 34 and 35, and the vocabulary on 36. Okay, just the first part. We're not going to go to 37, which is part B, and 38 and 39, and we're not going to go to 40, which is part C. So all of that we're going to leave. For now, we're just going to look at the first part of the English Key, which is 33 through 36, and that is quite a bit. That should keep us quite busy. Okay, let's see what we can cover here. I hope everybody has previewed this lesson by having already read the first part of the English Key for Lesson 13. This is a very important lesson. It covers a lot of information. And if you read it already, then perhaps you already have some questions. Hopefully I'll be able to clarify some of your questions. And by the way, anytime you have a question, you can always send your question to our email, mab93044@gmail. mab93044@gmail. That's the email that we use to send out homework assignments every week, and any other information that we need to send to you. So if we don't have your email, please send it to us. And you write us at mab93044@gmail.com, and we'll add you to the email list for this particular class, for book one class, or book two class, if you like. Okay, so, lesson 13. As I said, we're going to deal with, in this first part of the lesson, we're going to explain what are sound plurals, what are broken plurals. We're going to show you that sound plurals are divided into masculine sound plurals and feminine sound plurals. We're also going to deal with personal and possessive pronouns. Yani, plural pronouns, though, masculine and feminine. Not in the first part. We're going to have to deal with all that in the first part. We're going to deal with masculine in the first part, feminine in the second part B. We're also going to deal with demonstrative pronouns, the plural demonstrative pronouns. Demonstrative pronouns means the ism ishara, like hadha and hadhi and dharika and tilka. In this lesson 13, by the end of this lesson, we're going to take the plural demonstrative pronouns as well, and the third person, masculine and feminine, past tense verb forms. Dhahabu, yani masculine, hum dhahabu, they went, and hunna dhahabna, they feminine went. Okay, this is what we're going to, these five matters we're going to deal with in this lesson. The first part, we're going to take a good portion of that. Second part is going to be a little bit shorter, dealing with feminine plural things. Any possessive pronouns, personal pronouns, demonstrative pronouns, verb forms. And the last part we're just going to deal with, yani very, very brief, we're going to deal with the ism ishara for things which are far. The plural ism ishara for things which are far. Okay, let's read. Page 33, part A. In this lesson we learn number one. Okay, the first thing that we learn in this lesson, number one, is going to be 2 pages long. And then we're going to take number 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's all on one page. So the main thing that we're going to learn today is going to be in point number 1. If we don't finish anything else but point number 1, alhamdulillah, you'll have another week to go over and review it before we come back to this lesson. Part A. In this lesson we'll learn number 1, the plural of nouns and adjectives. We're going to learn the plural of nouns and adjectives. In English, adjectives have no plural form. Adjectives don't have a plural form. We say good man, singular, and good men, plural. Yani, the adjective good doesn't have a plural form. But in Arabic, even adjectives have plural form. Yani, nouns and the adjectives that describe them have plural forms. In English, we have 2 kinds of plural form. Sound plural, sound and broken. In the sound plural, in English, the word retains its original form. Like book, you just add S, books, pen, pens, right? You just add something to the end of it, the word remains intact. In the broken plural, the original form of the word is changed to a great extent, rather some small extent. For example, M-A-N, man, becomes M-E-N, men. Just changing the vowel in the middle. W-O-M-A-N, woman, becomes woman, W-O-M-E-N, just changing the vowel in the middle. Okay, so the broken plural in English, it's not a great change in it, in reality, but there's some change, right? So there's sound plural and broken plural in English. In Arabic, we also have these 2 kinds of plural forms, sound and broken. The sound plural is divided into 2 parts, as I mentioned earlier, either masculine sound plural or feminine sound plural. The masculine sound plural has una ending, meaning you elongate the vowel dhamma with wow and then add a noon with fatha, una. So muslimun becomes muslimuna. Mudarrisun becomes mudarrisuna. And I'll give you a couple of other examples. Kafirun becomes kafiruna. And munafikun becomes munafikuna, and so on like this. Okay, this is the sound, masculine plural. You just add wow and noon, una. The feminine sound plural also remains intact, but instead of adding una, you add atun. Atun. Fatta alif ta maftuha. Ta maftuha, with the 2 dots open. Plus, yani, fatta alif and ta. That's what you add to the feminine word to make it a feminine sound plural. You don't break up the word, you just add to the end of it, atun. So for example, muslimatun with ta marbuta ending, muslimatun becomes muslimatun. Yani you elongate the vowel on the last letter before the ta marbuta, you elongate the vowel and you change the ta marbuta to ta maftuha. Okay, so muslima becomes muslimat. Muhandisatun becomes muhandisat. And so on like this. Alright? Yani mu'minatun becomes mu'minat. Kafiratun becomes kafirat. And so on like this. Alright? So, the masculine sound plural, it remains intact, you just add una to the end. Feminine sound plural, it remains intact, you just add at to the end of it. And you change the ta marbuta to ta maftuha and elongate the vowel on the last letter. Yani before the ta marbuta or ta maftuha. It says here, note that in the plural form, the singular has short a. Yani muslimatun, muhandisatun, has short a before the ta marbuta. And the T is a round ta in muslima and muhandisa and mu'mina. It's a round ta, ta marbuta. Whereas in the plural form, the A is a long A. Muslimat, muhandisat. And the ta is the open ta, ta maftuha. So there are two things here, difference between the feminine singular and the feminine sound plural. Yani the feminine singular ends with a short vowel, fatha, followed by closed ta, ta marbuta. Sound feminine plural ends with a long vowel after the last letter, fatha alif, and the ta marbuta becomes ta maftuha. So notice the difference between them. In pronunciation, the only difference between the singular and the sound feminine plural is the shortness and length of the A. Muslima, muslimat, and the ending with ta marbuta as opposed to ending with ta maftuha. Okay, to summarize what we took in the first page here, yani we said that in this lesson we're going to learn the plurals for nouns and adjectives, because adjectives in Arabic have plurals, unlike English. And we also said that in English you have sound and broken plurals, even though the broken plurals are not widely used in English as they are in Arabic, but in Arabic we also have sound and broken plurals. Sound and broken plurals. The sound plurals are divided into masculine sound plurals, which, yani, you just add una to the end. Feminine sound plurals, you add at to the end. That's what we said about the sound plurals. Masculine, feminine. This is how you formulate them. And then we said that the other type of plural, besides the sound plural, is the broken plural. That's what we're going to look at right now on page 34. Broken plurals. On the top of page 34 says, the broken plural, unlike English, the broken plural is very widely used in Arabic. Widely used. And there are more than 20 patterns, yani, wazans, awzan, of the broken plural in Arabic. Some are given in this lesson, yani, 8 of them are given in this lesson. Here they listed 8 broken plural patterns with an example for each one. So they gave us the pattern first. Like at the first one they gave us is fu'ulun. Okay, what's written under there in English letters? 1, U, 2, U, elongated U, 3, U, N. Yani, there's a footnote that says the numbers 1, 2, and 3 refer to the first, second, and third letters of the word. The first, second, and third root letters, the radicals, okay? But we're not going to use this transliteration. So please don't, pay attention to that. Just look at the Arabic. Okay, we are capable of looking at the Arabic here. So please look at the Arabic and just look at the pattern of, remember I said the patterns in Arabic are represented, the first radical, the first root letter is represented by fa. So the pattern fu'ulun tells you that the first radical, the fa represents the first radical, whatever is the first root letter, it's going to take a single dhamma. The ayn, the second root letter, second radical, is going to take a dhamma with an extra waw following it to elongate it. That's an extra letter added in this pattern. And then the last letter, the lam, represents the third or the final root letter, radical. is going to just take 10 wien. Okay? So, what you need to look at here in this particular pattern is that the first ruler is going to take a dhamma, single vowel, short vowel, and the second radical is going to take another dhamma, but it's going to be elongated by wow. So you look at the three root letters of the word, and then you add the first root letter, add a dhamma, the second root letter, you add a dhamma with wow, elongating it, and then the third root letter takes tanween in this pattern, right? So the pattern tells us what? It tells us like a sewing pattern. It tells us when to turn right, when to turn left, when to cut short, make it round, or whatever. You follow the pattern. So the pattern here tells us the first letter takes dhamma. Follow that pattern. The second letter takes dhamma wow. Follow the pattern. Look at your first letter. In the example they gave us after fo'ul going across from left to right, they gave us nejmun. Nejmun is composed of three letters. So it's easy to know. The root is noon, jim, and mim. The pattern tells us fo'ulun. Tells us the first radical, the fa, in this word it's a noon, takes dhamma. The second radical, the ayn, takes dhamma wow. That means the jim in this word, the second radical, takes dhamma wow. And the third one just takes tanween. So the pattern fo'ulun is telling us that in this word nejmun, the first radical, first root letter, takes dhamma. The second radical, the second root letter, takes dhamma wow. And the third radical takes tanween. So nejmun became nu jumun on the pattern of fo'ulun, nu jumun. Okay? So I hope you understand how the patterns work. It just means three, you have to identify the root letters. If it only has three letters, it's easy. If a word has more than three letters, then you have to know how to figure out the root. What we'll say for now is generally the root is going to be removing a long vowel, an aleph or a yao or a ya or a wow. That's how it's going to be most of the time, more commonly than anything else. In these words, we're going to see an aleph, we're going to see a ya, and we're not going to see wow. But these are the main first things you're going to look for. If you see one of them, you can immediately take those out, and then you'll get to the three triliteral, three letters of the root. So once you know those three letters, you just follow the pattern. Dhamma, dhamma wow. Nejmun, nujumun. Okay, let's take another example. Faslun. Fa, sod, lam. Fa takes dhamma, sod takes dhamma wow. Fu, solun. So the plural of faslu, classroom, is fusulun. The same thing like dars. Dars. We might know that the plural of dars is durus. Dars is dal, ra, sin. So the pattern tells us that dal, the first radical, takes dhamma. The ra, the second radical, takes dhamma wow. And then the last radical takes tanween. So darsun became durusun. And harfun, ha, ra, fa, became hurufun. And baytun, ba, ya, ta, became buyutun. And ilm, ayn, lam, mim, became ulumun. Okay, I don't want to give you so many examples on the rest of the patterns, but this is just so that we can see how the pattern works. Okay, just giving us. And by the way, inshallah, somebody's going to remind me, and I'm going to send you some notes, some PDF files, which give us all of these patterns, these eight patterns for this lesson, with more examples. More examples than we're going to see here in our English key or in our lesson. Going to give us more examples so you can have more practice with each pattern. And what I'm saying to you now, in the beginning, right now, in this first, look at lesson 13, you have to memorize these eight patterns. The best way to do it is to take one pattern at a time and memorize with it at least two or three examples for each pattern. Memorize the pattern for all, and then take nejmun, nujum, darsun, durus, harfun, huruf. Memorize three examples with each pattern, at least two or three examples. And go over it for a day or two, and then go to the next pattern. If it takes more than a day or two, take 3 days, and go to the next pattern. And then go to the second pattern, and do the same thing. Memorize the pattern, fu'ul, and memorize examples for it. Kutub, judud, rusul, whatever, like this. Kutub, and so on. Okay, memorize at least two or three examples for each pattern. Take a day or two for each pattern and try to memorize them within the next 3 weeks that we're going to be doing this lesson. You don't have to memorize 8 of them by next week. If you memorize all 8, with examples by next week, mumtaz, ahsant, alhamdulillah. But if you don't memorize them all in 1 week, then you still have the next week and the following week, and at least 3 weeks it will be on this lesson. So you have plenty of time to memorize 8 patterns with examples for each one, but you must memorize them, okay? Start today and memorize one, another day or two, memorize another one. By next week you should have at least 2 or better than that, hopefully 3. And in the second week, 2 or 3 more. And in the third week, 2 or 3 more. That's more than enough time to memorize 8 patterns. Okay, time is running out on us. Let's look at the rest of the patterns that's on this page. Okay, the second pattern they gave us is fu'ulun. Fu'ulun means the first radical takes dhamma, the second radical takes dhamma, and the third radical takes tanween. So the example they gave us is kitabun. Now we have more than 3 letters here, so we have to get rid of one of them to get the root, the triliteral root. So remember I said, get rid of the long vowel, the aleph, the ya, or the wow. So get rid of the aleph. We know that the root of kitab is ka-ta-ba, without the aleph, kataba. So the kaf is the first radical, it takes dhamma. The ta is the second radical, it takes dhamma. And then the ba takes yani sukun. So the pattern fu'ulun tells us the first and second radical, both of them taking a single short vowel dhamma. So kitabun, its root kataba, means kaf takes dhamma, ta takes dhamma. So they told us it's what? The broken plural pattern for kitab is kutubun, kutubun, dhamma, dhamma. That's an easy pattern. Okay, there are lots of common words that we know that follow this broken plural pattern, fu'ulun. Like sabilun, the way, right? Like fi sabilillah, the root, if you take out the ya, is seen, ba, lam. So the seen takes dhamma, the ba takes dhamma, the lam takes tanween, subulun. Rasulun, also, we know a famous word, Rasulullah, right? Take out the wow, so you're left with 3 letters, ra, seen, and lam. The ra takes dhamma, the seen takes dhamma, the lam takes sukun, rusulun. Jadidun, take out the ya, jim, del, del, jududun, and so on like this. Okay, subulun, rusulun, jududun, kutubun. Third pattern. The third pattern they gave us is, and by next week, inshallah, try to learn at least 1 or 2 of these patterns. The third pattern is fi'alun, means the first radical takes kasra. The second radical takes fatta with an extra aleph. So we're adding a letter in here into this pattern, right? We take kasra on the first radical, fatta aleph on the second radical, and the last radical takes tanween. So the example they gave us is jabalun, jabalun, jim, ba, lam. There's no letter to remove. We just put what? The jim takes kasra, according to the pattern, fi, al, the ba takes fatta aleph, and then the lamb takes tanween. So jabalun became on the pattern of fi'alun, jibalun, jibalun, jibalun. And the same broken plural is used for rajulun, rijalun, and kabirun, kibarun, and saghirun, sigharun, and tawilun, tiwalun, and so on like this. Alright, so there are lots of words also on this pattern that we should be familiar with. The fourth pattern is fu'alun. This pattern is a little complex, right? The first radical, the fa, takes dhamma. So the first radical is going to take dhamma. The second radical is going to take a shadda and a fatta with an extra aleph. Shadda, fatta, aleph. And the last radical takes tanween. So, when we know the root, the triliteral root, the first, second, and third radical, the pattern tells us the first radical takes dhamma, the second radical takes shadda, fatta, aleph. It takes a shadda, it's going to be doubled, and then it's going to have elongation of fatta, fatta, aleph. Alright, so the pattern, fu'al, yani for tajir. We need 3 letters, so get rid of the long vowel aleph. You have ta, jim, ra. The ta takes, according to the pattern, fu'alun, the ta takes dhamma. The jim, yani, the second radical, takes a shadda. So you're going to put a shadda on the jim, and then you're going to vowel it with fatta and an extra aleph. So, ta, jim, ra became tu, jim with shadda, tu, jarun. Shadda on the jim. Tudjarun. Tudjarun. Ta takes dhamma, the gene takes shadda fatta alif, tujjarun. And this is also a common broken plural pattern that we should be familiar with. Yani, for example, hafiz became huffadun, yani one who memorized the Quran. Kafir became kuffarun. Talib became tullabun. And Hajj, the pilgrim, became hujjajun. Yani dhamma, the second radical takes shadda fatta alif. The next pattern is af'alun. Yani the fa, ayn, and lam are the three radicals, the root letters. But here in this pattern, you got to add something to the beginning. You have to add a hamza with fatta before the first radical. And the first radical is going to take sukun. It takes no vowel. And the second radical, the ayn, is going to take fatta alif. Okay, so there's three things you're going to do here. The first radical is going to take sukun. That's going to be preceded by an extra added alif in the beginning. It's going to be prefixed with fatta alif. Then the first radical of the word itself is going to take sukun. The second radical is going to take fatta alif, elongation. Alright? So the example they gave us is qalamun. We only have three letters. So the first radical takes sukun, preceded by hamza with fatta, aq. The second radical, lam, takes fatta alif, la. And then the third radical takes tanween. So qalamun became, on the pattern of af, al, it became aqlam, aqlam, pens. Waladun became awlad. Huh? Zawjun became azwaj. Warakun became awraq, and so on like this. And we'll look at these, yani, examples, yani, as we go through this lesson for the next few weeks. The fifth pattern they gave us is a broken plural pattern that's mamnu' min as-sarf. This broken plural pattern is mamnu' min as-sarf. It doesn't take tanween. So notice, the last vowel is going to be a single vowel. In any broken plural that comes on this pattern. The pattern is fu-a-la-u. Yani the first radical, the fa takes dhamma. The second radical, the ayn, takes fatta. The third radical, the lam, takes fatta alif. Fatta alif. And then another extra letter is added, hamza, yani, written without a seat. Okay, so the first radical takes dhamma, the second radical takes fatta, the third radical takes fatta, elongated by alif, and then an extra hamza is added at the end. So the example they gave us is zamilun, zamilun, classmate or colleague. We want to get rid of the extra letter, the long vowel, ya. So we have za, mim, and lam. The pattern tells us the zay takes dhamma, the meem takes fatta, and the lam takes fatta alif followed by hamza. So zamilun, zay, meem, lam becomes zu, ma, la, u. On the pattern of fu, a, la, u. It became zu, ma, la, u. Okay, amir became umara, u. Wazir became wuzara'u, and so on like this. Alam became ulama'u. This is a word that we're already familiar with, right? Okay, let's go to the next pattern as we run out of time. The next pattern is also a broken plural pattern that's mamnu' min as-sarf. Its pattern is af'ila'u. Yani the first radical, the fa, takes sukun preceded by hamza with fatha. First radical takes sukun preceded by hamza with fatha. The second radical takes kasra. The third radical takes fatta alif followed by hamza again. Both of these patterns take, the last radical takes fatta alif followed by hamza. Okay? But in this one, the first radical has sukun preceded by hamza with fatta. Af, ai, la, u. So sadiq, sad, dal, qaf. Get rid of the long vowel, ya. Sad, dal, qaf. The sad takes sukun preceded by hamza with fatta. As. The del takes kasra, af'i, and the last letter, qaf, yani takes fatta alif followed by hamza. As-di-qa-u, on the pattern of af'i, la-u. As-di-qa-u. We also have from qawi, aqwiya-u, from qarib, aqriba-u, and so on like this, other examples. The last pattern, and we're going to have to stop here, is the pattern fi'latun. Yani the first radical takes kasra, the second radical takes sukun, the third radical takes fatha, followed by an extra letter, ta marbuta. The first radical takes kasra, the second radical takes sukun, the third radical takes fatha, followed by ta marbuta. Fa'alatun. Okay, so the example they gave us is akhun, which is a little bit tricky. But yani to help us a little bit, yani I'll tell you that the only two letters here, the third letter is a waw. Okay, the third letter is a waw. So it's hamza, kha, and waw. So according to this pattern, the hamza takes kasra. The kha takes sukun. The extra letter, the waw that we don't see here, takes fatta, followed by ta marbuta. Fatta, yani it takes fatta, followed by ta marbuta. So akhun, yani becomes the first letter, hamza takes kasra, e. The second letter, kha, takes sukun, ikh. The waw takes fatta, wa, and added ta marbuta, ikh watun. And we're going to see other examples of this, like from yani sabi, sibyatun, from fata, fityatun, from ali, ilyatun, and from jalil, jillatun. This one is a little bit tricky because there's a letter that we don't see here in this example that they gave us. But in any case, we're going to be looking at these patterns. Start going over it during the week, but take one or two at a time. Take one at a time, I mean. During this week, try to take two, if not three, and memorize the pattern and memorize a few examples with it so that when you come in next week, you already started memorizing these patterns, and the following week you'll memorize more, and in the third week, inshallah, hopefully we'll be able to complete them if you haven't completed it before that. Okay, after these eight patterns and these examples that they gave us, they said the student is advised to learn the plural form of every new noun and adjective he learns. Yani when you learn a new word from now on, learn its plural form. If it's a sound plural, it's easy. Muslim, muslimun. Kafir, kafirun. That's easy, right? Muslima, muslimat. Kafira, kafirat. If it's a sound plural, masculine or feminine sound plural, if it's a broken plural, you have to learn which pattern it belongs to. And learn it along with the other examples that you already learned for that pattern. Okay? The key here is understanding how the patterns work, the wazn. These patterns, fu'ulun and fu'ulun and fi'alun and fu'alun and af'alun and fu'ala and af'ila and fi'la, these are patterns that tell us, take the root letters, the three radical root letters, and fill in the vowels according to this pattern. Okay, so once you learn the pattern and you learn some examples and you practice with it and work with it for a little while, inshallah, yani, you'll get used to them and they'll become easy for you bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Next week, inshallah, we're going to go back to the English key. And we're going to yani complete the rest of the points on page 35, the vocabulary on page 36, and then we're going to look at yani the text at the beginning, the first part of lesson 13, the text. Okay, so for homework, inshallah, complete the English key, especially the remaining points that we're going to cover next week, and start memorizing these patterns, and also go to the Arabic text for the first part of lesson 13, read it, translate it, write it out, and take the first, and we'll probably do at least the first two exercises for lesson 13, part A. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, we're going to take a 1 minute break, and then inshallah, we're going to go to book two. Pardon us for starting a little bit late today. 1 minute break, inshallah.